Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Well, had a chance for the sweep yesterday against Tampa Bay. Did not get it, but overall taking 2 out of 3 in a series at home has to be a pretty good feeling, even with the way yesterday went.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we won the series, which is what you want to do when you start the series. We obviously would have loved to sweep. We couldn't close the gap last night, and Archer was really tough on us, so... the optimist in us will say we won 2 out of 3. We'll move on to the next series. It's 3 series in a row we've won. We need to continue to pile on, you know, series wins in order to get to where we want to get.
You had that big inning, the 3-run inning against Chris Archer, really all that he allowed in that ball game. And obviously Altuve with the big hit with the 2-run home run, but a big hit by Castro, had a really good at bat against a tough pitcher and got a 2-out RBI single.
No, that was a nice job by our entire offense. That inning, we put together a lot of at bats in a row that were very high quality. We claw back into the game 4-3. We felt really good about it. A 4-0 deficit with Archer on the mound is not an easy thing to come back from. But we couldn't keep the game close, and the 8th inning showed up, and a couple of our relievers came in and gave up a few runs. So we leave the series, you know, still happy that we won the series, but certainly an opportunity that we missed.
Yeah, certainly an unfortunate 8th inning, turning a 4-3 game into a 9-3 game at that point. And Michael Feliz charged with 4 of the runs in the inning, and he had been one of the more reliable guys out of the pen for a while, but lately looks like he's been a little bit shaky. What's been different?
Yeah, that spot's, you know, usually perfect for him. We're down by one. He's going to keep the game close. We end up tying the game. We can go to Giles and to Harris. But, you know, he just isn't executing his fastball, and it's getting hit a little bit, and that's very uncommon for him. Based on how the early year went, where he was blowing things by people and able to get through lineups relatively easily when he gets them in swing mode. But every pitcher goes through this little rut where everything's getting hit. Yesterday he got hit a little bit early in the outing. He gave up a couple of infield singles. He comes out of the game, has another reliever come in and cash in his runs. So there's a lot that goes into how many runs a guy gives up, but pitch execution is usually what we go back to.
Looking at the lineup today, you have Yuli Gurriel in the field for the first time, playing at third base with Alex Bregman at the DH spot. I know you'd been waiting for a spot to get him in, and obviously he'd been dealing with the hamstring issue, which delayed his play in the field.
Yeah, this will be his first defensive test in the big leagues, and I wanted it to be at a position that he's very comfortable at. He's played third base for nearly 15 years, so it's not going to be a new position for him. But eventually he's going to get some time in left field. He may see some time at first base over the next few years, but... you know, I want to give Bregman a break on defense, let him just DH, get Gurriel in the mix with a glove on his hand. It's nice to see him out there. You know, we've never seen him before at the major league level. So we have a lot of trust and faith that he's going to be able to man the position.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
Back with more of AstroLaunch right after this.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
After replacing Phil Garner as skipper of the Astros, Cecil Cooper lost his first game 7-0. The next day, August 29, 2007, was a milestone game for Coop as the Astros turned the tables and won 7-0. But it also included several other milestones. Roy Oswalt pitched 7 shutout innings on his 30th birthday to run his record to 14-6. Lance Berkman got 3 hits, one of which was his 250th career home run. And batting with the Astros up 4-0 in the 7th, Craig Biggio led off with a double down the left field line, knocking Kip Wells out of the game. It was Biggio's 655th double, and it tied him with George Bett for 5th on the all-time list.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to AstroLaunch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I've got longtime broadcaster Ken Korak of the Oakland A's with me this afternoon. And Ken, we see a different team with the A's almost every time we see this team. Can you tell me about a few of the young guys? We've seen Sean Manaea a couple times. Let's start with him.
Well, he really has a chance, Sparky. He's a big, strong lefty, as you know, and third start against the Astros this year. And last 10 or 11 games, his ERA is around 3.4. And the big thing for him, and I know you and I have talked about this before, is that he's rediscovered his changeup and gone back to the grip that he used when he was pitching in college at Indiana State. It's made a big difference because he's a big, strong guy a big motion, as you know, kind of drops down a little three quarters, and he can be deceiving because he has a big time fastball, and that's made the changeup a lot better.
Seems like the makeup of Sean Manaea, and he's got the Samoan background. Seems like he's kind of a laid-back guy. Does he have that makeup to where he wants to get better?
Oh, I absolutely. He really wants to compete, and he really wants to be good.
Yeah.
And he battles every start. So I think with some people, because he's really a cool kid, he's really a nice young man, big personality, delightful to be around. And I think with a lot of people in the game, that can mask a certain competitiveness because he really does compete.
Let's go to Pender. Let's go to Max Muncy, a couple of guys that we haven't seen. We've seen Max a little bit, but he's transitioning to second base, and seems like from what we've heard, he's transitioned well.
He's really worked hard at it. He actually went down to winter ball to play down there this past off season, ostensibly to work on playing second base, but then he got hurt, so he didn't spend a whole lot of time down there. He is a Texan. He went to college at Baylor.
Yeah.
But it really is on-the-job training for him playing at second base. He's done a nice job there. He embodies a lot of the A's model, which we haven't seen a lot of this year because their on-base percentage is really low. He does walk a lot. He gets deep into counts. And then Chad Pinder is a guy that was drafted by the A's, a high draft pick out of Virginia Tech. And he was the MVP of the Texas League last year. He's been playing second base against lefties primarily, and then when Marcus Semien was away for the birth of his son, which just happened recently, Pinder got all the starts while Marcus was out playing at short.
You get a chance to talk to Bob Melvin every day. You interview him before every game. When the microphone is turned off, how's he handling things? Because it's a revolving door here. Seems like the perfect guy for this job.
It's a little bit Steve like the answer to my question about Manaea. Because Melvin is just the consummate professional. He's an absolute gentleman. I think he treats everybody equally, and I think everybody around the game has a great deal of respect for him. He oozes class. And so maybe on the outside you don't see a lot of frustration, but he competes as hard as anyone. And so especially reflecting in light of what the A's did with the three straight postseasons in 12, 13, and 14, this has been a really tough year on him, and it's tough on the coaches, it's tough on the players. It's been a hard year, but that doesn't mean they don't battle every day. And then, as you know, in the game, something good can happen, like they just took 2 out of 3 from Cleveland. They just went to St. Louis and took 2 out of 3 up there.
Talking with Ken Korak of the Oakland A's radio broadcaster, and we see Ron Washington working with the infielders, and we talk about it a lot on the air, and he's got a routine with those guys, and we've seen the progression of Marcus Semien, who works so hard with Ron Washington every day. What have you seen? I mean, he's become a really good shortstop.
I've never seen anyone who's you can speak to this more than me, but a regular player in the big leagues do the amount of work that Semien does before every game. I mean, who's ever seen someone who plays every day, I mean, literally until his son was born, and then working in the afternoon, 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and doing some of the rudimentary drills and going back to the basics of playing on the infield. Wash is amazing. I mean, I can't imagine. People talk about Perry Hill for good reason.
Yeah.
But Wash has to be as good an infield coach as there's ever been. And he's just pure baseball to me, right? You're around with the A's when he was coaching for the A's back when you pitched for us. And Wash is just 100% baseball. He's great.
Well, you are too, Ken. Thanks a lot for catching up with us, letting us know what's going on with the A's. And good luck this series. Hopefully you guys play a little bit better when you're out of here.
Thanks, Sparky. It was fun.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.